The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Thank you, Neil, for putting that in the chat box about the forum for this group. And tonight I'd like to continue talking about equanimity. It's such a rich topic, even though, I mean, it doesn't sound so exciting, honestly. Equanimity has too many syllables, too many, I don't know, it just doesn't necessarily sound like something beautiful and smooth or nourishing. But one way I'd like to describe it, maybe to highlight today, is that it has this quality of, like, when we put down the pushing and pulling, when we put down, you know, when we, like, let go, when we are no longer holding the pushing away, I don't want to get this away from me. And sometimes we do that in such obvious ways and sometimes really subtle ways. As well as the pulling, I want more, I need this. And again, we can see how we do this, you know, in really obvious ways in our life and in really subtle ways in which the mind is, you know, always having an opinion, jumping, need more of this, less of that. What can I do to make this go away? How can I keep this staying here? In fact, I mean, if we were to look at our minds, we might discover that that's primarily what they do. And so this equanimity is something that's quite different. It's a different quality than just trying to find a little more pleasantness. And there's nothing wrong to trying to find pleasantness, but if we orient our entire life around that and think that that the next moment of pleasantness is going to be a lasting source of happiness, course, we'll have disappointment after disappointment. So one way that we can understand equanimity is a way of saying, okay, with what's arising. I'm saying I love it, I'm not saying I hate it, but I'm not turning away. I'm not running away. I'm not running towards. In fact, especially when things are a little bit difficult or a lot difficult, there can be these, often they're just flickers, just a small moment of time in which we can surrender to what's happening with other, when it's really unpleasant. And that moment, and when there's that surrendering, that moment, it's okay. There's the unpleasantness, that's unpleasant. But it's the putting down our agenda, our wish, our desire for things to be different. Letting go with that. That's where equanimity is. Not demanding, requiring that things be any way other than how they are. Even if it's difficult, even if it's unpleasant. So there are these moments of sweetness. There's this moment. Sometimes there can be joy, and often it's just a flicker when we let go of trying to wish things to be different or manufacture, fabricate, organize, engineer things to be different. But just to say, okay. And the next beat might be, oh, yeah, this is dukkha. This is unsatisfactoriness. This is unpleasant. But it's the letting the shields down, letting the walls down that allows us to just be with what is. And this recognition, like, oh, this is dukkha, then there might be some wisdom that can arise. We've heard of dukkha. This dissatisfaction, suffering, unpleasantness. We know that this is an inherent part of life. And somehow it's just saying, oh yeah, this is dukkha. Somehow just even saying that can maybe take away, there might have been a this unnoticed, unseen way in which we were blaming ourselves, blaming somebody else. If only this wouldn't have happened, then I wouldn't be having this experience right now. When we kind of say, oh yeah, this is dukkha, all that goes away. The blaming or pushing, but just saying, okay, this is how it is. So here's a poem by Rosemary Traumer. I just appreciate her so much as a poet. You know that I'm often bringing her poems to our class. She's a beautiful poet, and she writes a poem every day. It's beautiful. I just feel inspired by that. And she's a Buddhist practitioner as well. So, but this idea of to write a poem every day, kind of like distill something, touch into, you know, poems often touch into what's deep, but for her, that's part of her practice. I have a tremendous respect for that. Okay, so this poem is called New Mantra. It was written about 2 months ago. And it goes like this. To this day, with its deepening whirlpools of grief, I say, okay. Okay to the way I'm swirled and pulled down. Okay to the thick-muscled sorrow. Okay to the throat with its clenching, its tightness. Okay to the ambush of tears. On this day when saying yes to the world is too shiny, too perky, too yes, too bright. On this day with its churning currents of pain. On this day when there is no clear path forward, at least I do not say no. Okay, I say as I pull on my clothes. Okay, I say as I don't make the call. Okay, is my life vest, my life raft, my passage? I'm grateful it isn't a verb. Okay. Okay. Okay, I say, blessed by its unstriving truth. Okay, I say, as the whirlpool spits me out. Okay, as another pulls me down again. It's quite something with this poem that she's talking about these whirlpools of pain and sorrow and tears. It's not saying that it makes everything different. And the last two lines, okay, I say as the whirlpool spits me out. So we think, oh, okay, great. She found a way forward. And then the next line, okay, as another pulls me down again. So no guarantees that just because we have equanimity, all of a sudden, Shazam, everything's going to be happy and fixed and different, but it will unfold differently than if we are kicking and screaming and fighting and blaming or not turning around, not turning towards. This is the way forward, is to say, okay, as best we can. As best we can, and sometimes we can't. Let's be honest, sometimes we can't. But equanimity practice is to help make it so that we can say, and part of the way that this practice works is for us to learn to set boundaries and to recognize what we can control and what we can't control. And another way to practice with equanimity is to recognize just as I was talking about a little bit before, kind of the sweetness of that when we do put things down and let go and we're able to just be with what is, even if it is difficult. This is a way forward. wisdom can arise there, the greatest wisdom. Okay, so, but that is an introduction. We'll do some equanimity practice where we'll do a little bit of mindfulness, then I'll do some loving kindness just to warm up the heart. I think that it's helpful to bring some softness and some warmth to this practice, to equanimity practice. To be sure, there are other ways in which we can do it, but here at Happy Hour, we're going to do it this way. So taking one's meditation posture. Whether you're sitting or not sitting, is there a way in which you can set the intention? Sometimes we do that with our posture. Set the intention to be present, to practice, in whatever way is available to us at this time. Bringing attention, bringing awareness to the bodily experience. Maybe we feel the pressure against the body where it's contacting whatever it is we're sitting on or laying on. Maybe a little more subtle, noticing the contact of our clothing on the skin. And to notice, of course, this body is breathing. Can we tune into the rhythm of the breath, the experience of breathing, the felt sense of breathing, the way the body experiences, inhales and exhales. How does it feel to have an in-breath, feeling the stretching of the chest, maybe the movement of the belly as the abdomen moves, as the diaphragm moves? When the mind wanders, as it's apt to do, we don't have to make it a problem. We can just say, okay, the mind wandered. Now I'm going to begin again with the sensations of breathing. And then to begin with our loving kindness practice, bringing to mind a lovable being, someone for whom it's easy for us to have warmth, or for there to be a smile that arises when we think of them. This can be imaginary. Kittens, puppies, babies. Can be somebody we know, we have a relationship with, an uncomplicated relationship. Maybe it's somebody who's touched us in our life, but we don't necessarily have a relationship with them per se. Can we connect with this lovable being in a way that supports a sense of warm-heartedness? We might say these phrases as a support, giving the mind and the heart something to do to keep them here, this practice. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Allowing ourselves to tune into any openness or spaciousness or maybe greater ease in some way, even if it's just a small part of our experience, not our dominant experience. Nevertheless, can we tune into that sense of well-being, warmth, openness, spaciousness? And then building on this, whatever amount we have, this warmth or spaciousness, do some equanimity practice. And for this, you can bring to mind somebody that you care about, you have a relationship with, that maybe is a little bit irritating, bothersome, irksome, annoying. Not the most difficult person in your life. I'm going to offer some phrases. You don't have to do all of them. You can test drive them and see what resonates with you. Bringing to mind the person you care about but is a little bit irksome. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness. And I cannot make your choices for you. I care about you, and I cannot keep you from difficulties. I care about you, and I cannot keep you from difficulties. Your happiness and unhappiness depend upon your actions, not upon my wishes for you. Your happiness and unhappiness depend upon your actions, not upon my wishes for you. No matter how I might wish things to be otherwise, things are as they are. No matter how I might wish things to be otherwise, things are as they are. reading from this poem. Okay, I say as I pull on my clothes. Okay, I say as I don't make the call. Okay is my life vest, my life raft, my passage. I'm grateful it isn't a verb. Okay. Okay. Okay, I say, blessed by its unstriving truth. Okay, I say, as the whirlpool spits me out. Okay, as another pulls me down again. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I care about you. And I cannot keep you from difficulties. Your happiness and unhappiness depend upon your actions, not upon my wishes for you. No matter how I might wish things to be otherwise, things are as they are. So this idea of equanimity is saying, okay, this is how it is. Okay. Stopping the activities or movements of the heart or movements of the mind that are trying to make it be different to match our preferences. It's perfectly natural that we do this. Of course we do this. Part of this practice is learning to increase our capacity to be with difficulties. And part of the way that we do that is just to say, okay, it's like this right now. Things are as they are. I can't control this other person. I can't make them happy. We all are, you know, in some ways we're the, what's the word I'm looking for? It escapes me, but the owners of our actions and the consequences of our actions. So the same is for us as for others, of course, just like they are, we are too. So it can be nice to talk about some of these ideas with others. This idea of having of equanimity is saying, okay. And it doesn't mean that everything's perfect and wonderful after that. It doesn't mean that everything is going to, you know, transform, but it will be different. Things will unfold differently than if we are pushing and pulling, kicking and screaming in a gross way or in an obvious way or in a subtle way. So I'd like to put you into groups of three or four, and there will be, so we'll have like 14 minutes to talk about this idea of being with them, as equanimity is saying, okay, it's being okay. I'm trying to do a few things here at once, of course. So Here we go. Okay. So, and just a reminder, and many of you have heard me say this so many times, but just in case anybody hasn't, that just to say one thing and then let it go to the next person. They say one thing and then it goes to the next person, and then they say one thing and it goes to the next person. So in that way, it's an awful lot of listening, and it's not a lot of like big complicated storytelling and or giving other people advice. It's more just an opportunity for us to have some new ideas or to discover something new. Maybe what somebody says reminds us of something that we hadn't thought of, or maybe they even give us a whole new idea that we're like, yeah, I'm going to have to think about that. So in this way, we can kind of support each other on our practice, in our practice. So if it's helpful, you can choose to go in the order by the last digit of your phone number. So that just as kind of evens the playing field between the introverts and the extroverts. So here we go. Okay, so welcome back. Welcome back. Does anybody have any comments or questions or something they'd like to share about that small group and or about this idea of equanimity being okay? Kind of the opposite of saying no, but not quite saying yes either. Just saying okay.
It's almost like giving myself permission to not be okay.
Yeah. Thank you. So,
yeah, that's how it feels.
Nice. Permission to not be okay. Yeah. Thank you. Dawn. You know, you have to do the mute thing or the unmute thing.
That was one of the themes of our group, was to be okay with not being okay. It's over.
Over. Okay. Yeah, right? Sometimes we feel like we have to show up only in one way. But of course, our life is a mixture of things. And so to be able to recognize and honor and respect all parts of our lives, all parts of our experiences. Okay, wow, here we are at the top of the hour already. So with a deep bow of, Greg, you raised your hand. Is there something you'd like to say quickly right just we're getting ready to sign off here?
Sorry, I didn't mean to came in late, I guess, so still pondering. But maybe I'll just share that I was reflecting on my life spent in part on ranches in my youth, and those days, sort of like life, could be exceedingly uncomfortable. And in the winter, I would sometimes get rained on, snowed on, and hailed on all in a day. In the summer, I was mentioning to the group, I accidentally weighed myself one time, and I lost 13 pounds in a day from being out in the heat without water for so long.
Wow.
And but I got to tell you, when I'd be saddling the horses at 5:30 in the morning, getting ready to break out on a trot to go, we'll do stuff that we did, it was just, I never carped about it or griped about it. I just accepted it. And as I've gotten older and softer, I found situations like this to be something that I might want to complain or carp about. But when I was young, and this of discomfort and vicissitudes and unpredictability of the day was just something, it was just expected. It was just in the texture and the character of the people and the lifestyle. And maybe it's something I'm trying to reclaim a little bit as an old gray dog.
Yeah, just this recognition, that's part of what it is, what part of life is. And maybe what makes us uncomfortable is a little bit different, but the act of being uncomfortable or the experience of being uncomfortable isn't necessarily different.
Well, it was close to nature, and nature's inherently uncomfortable.
There you go. Yep. Thank you, Greg. Thank you. Okay, so thank you all. Thank you for your practice and for sharing your practice. And if you like, we can unmute and say goodbye. So bye-bye and thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Diana.
Bye.
Thank you tomorrow.
Thank you, Diana.
Bye.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Dave.
Good night.
Okay, bye.
Bye, Jesse.
Thank you, Mary Christina.
Bye.
Night,